Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Are we in church? What are we doing here?
I accidentally clicked the wrong button, but this looks pretty good.
Okay.
Well, we need to be in church.
The Titans might need to
need some prayers.
Yeah, we do.
T's and B's. We say hello to Brett Kern, former Titans punter, who is here with us. Brett, good morning. How are you?
What's going on? Is that my new welcome intro music right there?
I guess. We may roll with it. I don't know.
It was kind of doomsday yesterday, so I guess it's fitting. So
it was not good yesterday. I mean, we were just watching the highlights on NFL Network. I was there. I mean, it just some days, I guess you can say it just doesn't go your way. Nothing was really going the Titans' way, and yet – except for that first part of the game, and yet they still probably shouldn't have lost the game because I don't think the Texans played all that well either.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad they didn't have Stroud and Nico and Tank Dell and the weapons that they had on offense. Probably could have been pretty ugly, but, you know, the Titans came out fast. They came out, got that lead, which was great to see. Then I thought the defense played well. A couple penalties that were a little costly at times. I mean, they only had, I think, 5 for 50, which, you know, isn't going to get you beat. But, you know, penalties at costly times can get you beat. But, you know, overall, I thought, you know, it was kind of that ugly, you know, low-scoring game that's just a big old pillow fight at times. And, you know, I thought they had enough to win it, but obviously not being able to finish late, probably had two cracks late in the game, you know, to win it. But, you know, it's just, I feel like they've had a lot of them this year where, you know, I think if you have, you know, an average offensive line, and I don't even know if it's necessarily more weapons or anything like that. I just think that protection, you know, getting sacked 7 times and, you know, Wills, you know, you got Tannehill warming up on the sideline. And, you know, I think an average O-line in this team's completely different. They might be in first place in the division. So it's just one of those, you just shake your head and, you know, 3 games left, and, you know, how do you look forward to the offseason with positivity?
When you watched Derrick Henry yesterday, 16 carries for 9 yards, I mean, they just could not get the run game established at all, even though they kept trying throughout the game. I mean, now the question is, he was asked about it of, you know, does he look at this could be his final games with the Titans? What does he want moving forward? I mean, you obviously played with him for a long time. It's going to be a interesting offseason when it comes to Derrick Henry and what he wants and what the team wants. But do you think we are seeing maybe the end of 22 with the Titans?
I mean, you could be. I mean, obviously you never know what happens in free agency. You never know what other team feels like they want him, they need him. I still feel like if you put him in a spot where he can be getting his carries, I still think he can easily go over 1,000 yards. And I feel like if he gets a season or two more at 1,000, or even, you know, the Super Bowl ring, I mean, I don't know, you guys can debate it or not, like a Super Bowl ring helps you get a gold jacket or not. You know, I think that's a debate where a lot of people feel like he needs one, he doesn't need one. You know, if he's over this many yards, there's just so much that goes to it. You know, are you now looking at Christian McCaffrey as the gold standard of a running back to get a gold jacket, right? But, you never know. I feel like he still has a lot in the tank. And, you know, yesterday I think you keep going with the run because the score dictates that you can still go with the run, right? You're not down, you know, 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns late in the game where you have to throw and you're in obvious passing situations. You know, the game's still close. And with Derek, fourth quarter, that's what he does. All you need is for him to pop off one or two runs, you know, 25 yarder, maybe a 40 yarder. And all of a sudden you're in position to be in the red zone or a field goal. And maybe that's all it takes to win the game.
We're talking to Brett Kern this morning. Brett, you know, I've been on a few teams in college that when the season was over, the few games left, I'd say probably 75% of the team packed it in. But there were a few guys who stood up and said, look, we got to finish the season off. You've been on teams, unfortunately, in the NFL that eliminated with a couple of games to go. What's the motivation that you guys found to finish out these last couple of games?
Your opportunity to play on that team the next year. Guys that kind of packed it in with 3-4 games left, they were not on the team next year because their film showed it. They showed that they weren't, you know, going full tilt to the tackle. You could say all the Vrabelisms you want about what he loves in a football player, but the moment, you know, you think the season's over with and we're out of it, no big deal, whatever, right, you kind of get that complacency. And all it takes is, you know, 2-3 games where you're putting out bad film, bad finishing, you know, and then you're not even on the team the next year. And unfortunately, you know, the other 31 teams looking at film see, hey, this guy's loafing, this guy's slacking. We don't want to bring him in. And then the next thing you know, you can't get a job. So for me, you know, when there was 3 games left or 4, I mean, the Wisdom Hunt years, I felt like we were out of it, you know, after 5 games in the season. But there was plenty of times where, you know, there's still 4, 5, 6 games left and you're out of playoff contention. But you still, you know, like I said, I mean, I've told you guys before, like, I mean, I got 3 kids at home, a wife. I love it in Nashville. Like, I didn't want to leave. I wanted this to be my home. And so I had motivation just to finish strong and be consistent. And so I think with 3 games left, there's guys that are probably, you think about those college guys, right? Like,
right.
they are like done. They've hit that rookie wall where, you know, if you're playing in a bowl game, you get that 2-3 week break and you're fine. You can kind of, you know, get back going again. But for some of these guys, like it's real. It's a long season. It's a long grind. And so the motivation for them too is to obviously finish strong. But yeah, I mean, it's a grind, but you just got to keep going, got to keep finishing.
I want to ask you this: on the you were the holder on some amazing game-winning kicks. When you watch into that game yesterday with the Texans, you're paying close attention to the holder because, you know, as you well know, if the ball's not set perfectly, the thing goes off. Is that what you pay attention to sometimes, Brett, when you see that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I still get like even yesterday watching that, you know, still get a little bit of butterflies in the chest just because, you know, like this is a game winner, the opportunity, especially from 54. I think yesterday, obviously I wasn't there, but I could just very well look at my weather app and see what the wind direction was and all that and know exactly what the wind's doing in that stadium. So, you know, 54 yarder on a kind of a chilly day, that's a big time kick. And, you know, obviously, Kaimi with, you know, obviously able to connect on all his field goals to get them points when they weren't able to score in the red zone was huge, too, to kind of keep momentum going just a little bit to at least be getting points. But that's overtime, 54-yarder. That's not going to top the Ryan Suckup
no.
in Kansas City, 0 degrees, you know, to kind of keep your playoff chances rolling. That is something that I don't think will ever be topped in my watching or my playing days. So, but, yeah, that's awesome to see.
What are we looking at, 0.3 or 0.25 to get the ball back from the snapper to you?
So you're looking at an operation, you know, field goal. You want to be like Rob Ronas was like 1.2 full from snap to kick. And you want to talk about lightning fast. I remember one of the first practices that I had with Rob, he was around a 1.15, which wow. Literally the snap has to be perfect. Spot has to be perfect. There's no time to switch the laces for the tilt, anything. And I remember looking up at him and I was like, Rob, are you serious? And he goes, like, you ready? And he just gave me this look like, all right, come on, here we go. Cause at the time I was only my second year. Right. And he just kind of gave me this look and I was like, oh my gosh, you've got to be kidding me. He might kick my hand off at some point this year, but, you know, you can go anywhere from 1.12 is quick, 1.4. Now you're looking at a pretty slow operation, potentially getting blocked. You know, if you got a pretty good athletic jumper up the middle. But yeah, I mean, it's fast. But, you know, I tell people my rookie year, my special teams coach in Denver at the time, we did 200 jugs snaps a day in training camp. So by the end [S2] Wow. [S1] Of training camp, I was close to, you know, 5,000-6,000 snaps of field goal. And it just became, it's just a routine, right? You go out there, you catch it, you put it down, and off you go.
What have you thought of about Zentner since he's taken over as the punter?
Yeah, I mean, he's done well. Obviously, you know, he came in, you know, the Miami game, had some good – that's a really nice place to start, you know, your career down in Miami, especially in December. I think last year at this time I had my first game with the Eagles, and we were in Chicago, and it was 5 degrees with 30-mile-an-hour winds. So to be able to start in Miami is pretty great. But, you know, yesterday, I know he had that huge punt. You know, they downed it. I think Chris Moore downed it on the 1 or the 2, and you know, just kind of picking up with field position. I think, you know, the defense where they were playing yesterday. If you can just get those balls inside the 10 in any way, shape, or form, that defense is going to go out there, and all of a sudden you create. You know, you're catching the ball. Mason did a good job catching the ball yesterday, not letting it bounce. Just be able to get good field position. So I think he's done a great job so far.
Well. It's going to be interesting to see how they're going to react these next three games, but we'll break it all down. We're off next week, so Merry Christmas to you and the family, and we will catch up sometime next week, I'm sure.
Sounds good. I just got the kids. I got them a puppy. So,
nice.
It's probably good that we have a week off so I can potty train this thing. So,
what, we got a name for it yet?
Yeah, Kobe.
Nice.
Kobe. Well
I like
done.
That.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah, so either B for the Kobe Bryant, whatever you want to think of it as, that's fine. So,
okay. Wait, yeah, what kind? Been, what'd you get?
It's a mini golden doodle. So,
oh, cool.
Nice.
He's been fun so far, but it's been like having a newborn all over again. So, it's been fun. Hey,
good luck.
Every time I have a puppy, I'm like, man, this is why you only do this every so often.
That's right.
They're a lot.
Y'all have a great Christmas.
You too. Thanks. Appreciate it. Brett Kern, former Titans punter, with us on the show. He joins every Monday at 9:30 to get his breakdown of the Titans game. Continue to take your reaction to the Titans' loss yesterday. They are eliminated from playoff contention. 615-737-1025. We'll get to more of your calls and texts coming up next. And also, there is one team in Nashville that is clicking on all cylinders, and then some right now. We'll discuss that as well. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.